Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Invasion Wrap Up Podcast for episode 2. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I'm feeling mixed, Brian, as opposed to my usual chipper, positive, happy, glowing self. I don't know if we have an easy job tonight or a difficult job. Easy because it's not going to be harder to make this podcast more interesting than the episode, but hard because when we have an episode like this, it's difficult to make a podcast.
You get an interesting podcast. You get an interesting podcast. Everyone gets an interesting podcast. That's my attempt at being Oprah.
I love that, and I have a lot to say about that comment. Like, I could do maybe 45 minutes of this podcast on that comment alone, and then the other 15 on whatever else happened this episode.
That's fine, because that's basically what we could cover for the episode. So,
I have a quick correction, and I didn't go back and listen to last week, although I wanted to. Somebody, like, got on me about saying Suicide Girls is porn. I sincerely apologize if we mischaracterize Suicide Girls. I can get a little loose with my comments. I guess I'm not really familiar with the job. I think it's like a more like a pinup-y type deal.
I still don't really understand what it is. So,
well, it's like non-traditional models. It's like model-y women, beautiful women who have like tattoos and piercings and look dangerous. But I don't want to say anything else because I don't really know and I don't want people to get mad at me. So everyone do you.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from it too. We can move on.
When I'm drinking coffee at 6:30 on a Thursday night instead of wine, like I can't even have fun with it. I just have to move forward.
Well, wine is an alcohol. Remember that.
Did I miss something in the episode where they said
no,
wine
that's,
is
it's
an
not
alcohol?
From that. It's from Charles Oakley, but I still like the quote. So. See, this I'm already pulling stuff from other things that are happening in life because there's just not much going on.
Yeah, we're not going to promise you an interesting podcast solely based on this episode, but we are going to do our best to make it interesting at all costs.
Was that the correction? Just the Suicide Girls?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if people just stopped caring to correct us because at this point it's hopeless, or if like we're really just like doing a good job.
Maybe we just have so many things to correct that like not even bothering.
Yeah, that no, could be it's like they should just tweet us what we got right.
There we go.
You, the audience. Okay, I'm getting too existential. I almost like just address the audience as the third person in the podcast.
We should have separate confessionals during the podcast that we can like splice in.
We'll be like Jim Gaffigan stand up where we just like do the role of the audience. Let's just start over. Off to a bad start.
So Anika wants to be the Oprah for millennials. We can jump right in on that.
I have a couple questions I want to ask you about that.
Sure.
Allie Lasher writes, I want to know, I was trying to think like, do we actually not have any sort of millennial Oprah? But at the same time, talk show hosts don't usually emerge at the age somebody would have to be the millennial Oprah. So we wouldn't know yet. But also, I don't know if I said three or C, wherever I started this.
Is it the closest
nonsense.
Thing? Oh, look, there's one more. Go ahead.
The one more thing is, why does she need money to do this? Like, Oprah did not finance her own talk show.
It's a great, I don't know. Can she just start a YouTube channel? Isn't that what people do?
You did.
Yeah, I did, and now I'm here. So
here we are. I, on the other hand, did no work to get here, so she could also do that.
That's even more millennial of you.
What were you going to say? The closest thing we have is who?
I was going to say is just like YouTube stars, like Jenna Marbles or whoever. Aren't those basically Oprah from millennials?
I mean, yeah.
The
Dane Cook Oprah joke comes to mind, where it's like two types of Oprah. One is like Oprah comes in on a skateboard, kickflip, you get a car, you get whatever, everybody gets a humpback whale, and then the other Oprah is like, you might yourself be a rapist.
I mean, networks still coming out with daytime talk shows, like new ones? Are those still a thing?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know the YouTube channel of like A, the YouTube channel that has enough funding to give out cars, or B, the YouTube channel that's like, tonight on the YouTube show, like, we investigate, like, this criminal rapist. So I don't know that anyone's, like, really doing the hard-hitting work.
And her favorite things would be very weak with, like, a grand prize of, like, you know, 50 grand. Like, I don't know what she'd be giving away.
You like, get my McDonald's. T-shirt from the challenge.
Yeah. Edward Moore says, what would be a millennial Oprah's favorite things list? So what do you got?
Oh, what do I got? I would say, like, your mom or grandmother's hand-me-down, like, iPhone 4S. like you broke your phone at the bar, and so you're using like your mom's old phone that she barely used, but it has like one to 20 photos of like your house cat on it.
I was gonna go with a participation trophy, because Oprah's favorite things was like the first participation trophy. You just show up and you just, everyone gets it.
I have a real issue with that whole mischaracterization, like that whole participation trophy thing. I mean, yeah, I got them, but it's the whole like, you gave them to us, mom and dad. Like, you're like, why are you mad at me in third grade for getting like a most improved gymnast award that everyone got when you handed it to me?
Plus, someone had to be most improved. Maybe it was you, and then everyone else was just getting the participation trophy.
It was because I like broke my arm and it healed, so I was most improved.
There you go. You started with a broken arm, and now you're here.
I'm trying to think of what else. Damn it. This is why I don't like not looking at the questions.
Here's a question. Where is Ashley from? Because here she's trying to portray herself as a country girl. But then on Real World, she's from San Francisco. And now I think she's living in Vegas. So does she just cover, she could be everything, right?
Well, what we need to understand about the MTV is that nobody's ever from where they say they're from. Like, Ozzy on Are You the One this season, like, is from, I forget where, south of the United States. But he, like, went to high school with my friend from New Jersey. So, like, where are you from? You know, what does it mean? I just think it's, like, when they need geographic diversity, they're like, okay, well, where you're currently living is now where you're from.
I guess so. Because I'm very, every season, Ashley has a new, like, place that she can connect with. So I guess that's good for her. She always builds relationships. She's always from somewhere else.
She's a girlfriend chameleon. When she dated the Paris boyfriend on The Real World, like, she was so Euro.
Exactly. Now she's a good old Christian country girl.
Yeah, I'm tempted to spend much more time on Anika and just riff on more millennial things, but I guess we do have to move on.
We can always come back to it.
Yeah, Ashley and Hunter, like, the match made in Southern Heaven that nobody wanted. I'm, like, disturbed by this couple.
His what?
This couple.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be a good thing. She connects with someone every season, so. But it works. She usually finds someone good to pair with, so.
It's funny you say that, because I feel like we haven't really talked about the relationship between Corey and Ashley from last season. Not romantic, but was that last season? I'm like, was it 20 years ago?
I think so. What was their dynamic last season again? I don't even remember.
Were they not? What? Weren't they rivals from the season of The Real World?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Momentary rage blackout here. But that really only came to a head this episode, where it kind of seemed like they don't, I don't know. I'm like Corey and Ashley seem to be on opposite sides of the house. Corey later will talk about, like, seems to still, like, feel like he can pull strings with her, though. I don't really know where they stand.
They seem kind of cool with each other. They seem like, have like a jokingly, like, we have some weird bond. We're not really together. We're not really against each other, but we have, like, respect for each other. It kind of seemed like that's where they were at.
Are you surprised by that? I kind of expected them to have a tighter relationship than that.
Yeah, I think it's expected. I mean, they each kind of like do their own thing. So, but they also don't seem like people that hold grudges. So I think they're going to be that way with a lot of people. That they're like, they hate people one season, but then it's like, then they just go out and do their own thing in the off season. They come back and they're cool with each other.
But weren't they really close? Like, I thought they were really close on Rivals when they were partners. Maybe I'm missing.
Yeah, but I think that's just what it is. Like, when they're on their shows together, they'll be bond with people, and then in the next season, like, I could see like Corey and like Hunter next season being like cool with each other. They're just like, for now, they're like, just, they hate each other. But Corey and that, they seem like easygoing people.
The one thing I'll say about Hunter here in this little love scene, which between two mosquito nets, like the new Between Two Ferns, like Between Two Nets, I love how they're like flirting with like two nets in between them.
Right.
Is when he says, she says he's about as smooth as the Rocky Mountains, and he says smooth as the underside of your pillow. I respect his commitment. Like, she's like, you're an idiot. It's cool as the underside of the pillow. And he goes, it's still smooth.
Stress. Pillows are smooth. If they're bumpy, you're doing something wrong.
No, I feel like if they're smooth, you're doing something wrong. It's just like a slab. They should be like mushy.
I guess so. I can't read it to like his weird comment, but well, one interesting thing, which from Twitter, Olivia Underscore 0912 brought up. She said supposedly Hunter hates Kayla because they were talking prior to the show, and that once they met, she hooked up with Corey, and that explains why he has animosity towards Corey.
That's great, because Kayla, I was thinking that this whole episode, like, there has to be an origin story of their animosity, because we didn't, it, like, he could not hate her this much from just being annoying or being on the other side of the house. And she did say during the whole nude scandal that he was the only one who ever got naked pictures of her. So I was like, how was that after? Am I waiting to see their romance blossom at the end of this, or it must have been before? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what, that's the vibe. He has like the fourth grade, I like a girl, so I'm gonna like pull her hair.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the ultimate, like, it's can be pretty awkward if you like start talking to someone before you've met them. Mm-hmm. And this, I feel like, is the ultimate version of that, where they were probably talking for a very significant period of time, and then you meet on a television show in person for the first time. I sympathize with the awkward situation, but he is acting like a little baby.
Anything else before the challenge?
Well, let's read into this tree mail a little bit. I was like, I'm a little bit losing it on this like survivor aspect of the challenge. And when they come in with this like laminated bullshit fake parchment, I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm totally out on this jungle format.
Yeah, it is weird. I really wish they brought back the T-Mobile sidekicks and all that stuff. Just to like, why break away from that? Like, I don't know if those things are even still in existence, but they should just make them for the challenge.
I imagine they'll go back to like phone clue. Like, I don't think they're going to be coming back with parchment when they're at the Oasis, but I just like thought it was so cheaply done. I mean, not like cheap, but it just was like, I don't know. And then they say like, this is the one time you'll want to be a floater, which I know you're not a big brother fan, but it was like, really, really, you're going to use floater too on this like survivor knockoff. You're going to use floater. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too riled up about that.
And have you ever seen anyone more excited to just wear their own clothes than Nicole? Like, is that really that big of a deal to wear your own clothes?
Also, it's like they put them in nice clothes, and her clothes are not much different than the stuff they give them to wear. It's like
she wore an Under Armour shirt to the challenge. So it's like she wore her uniform.
That was like a pretty weird reaction. I don't know if like the producers were like really ham it up about how excited you are to not compete. And she was like, oh, I get to wear my own clothes.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about you speculated last week that this would sort of be the situation. Do you like that they're just kind of watching the challenge? That's their sole function.
So like, what else would they be able to be in the challenge and start sabotaging people? Would that be more interesting?
I don't know about that. If anything, it's almost like reversing the eliminations, where like you're going to potentially, I mean, there's only one more week of this, but like you have outside people to cheer on the people they want to do well. But it's almost like they're just extreme. Like, I'd almost rather them have like a champions like dinner and drinks set up next to the challenge, and they get to like really revel in it. Like, that's just like something.
Yeah, that would be better. That added more than Dariel talking about how the challenge came down to where you put the bags in the boat. So that would have offered more.
I also like, the more I watch this, the more like the lower I fall on the idea of keeping the Are You the One couples in the house after their perfect match, only because like I really do think that when people go home, like, I mean, I know they're eliminating people here, but just in general, like it's hard to focus on who's still in contention for challenges, at least for me, when there's like these extraneous winners in the house. So I think for Are You the One, like they actually do need the time to focus on the couple still there after they told the story of the couples.
No, that is fair. That's fair. It is just, I mean, it would be a different context, different shows. They would be doing different things, but I can understand just wanting to focus on the people that like actually matter.
So what did you, I want to know about this challenge from you, because I've seen this like sink the baskets and lower the thing before, but I'm trying to remember if it was Survivor or if it was like some iteration of the challenge.
I mean, they've done this on Survivor basically every season, but in terms of like the challenge, I'm sure they've done something similar.
Okay, no, it's just like total Survivor nostalgia here.
Yeah, it was clear. It was definitely Survivor nostalgia, but I'm sure they've done some similar challenge on the challenge.
I thought this was one of the more boring challenges to watch that I can remember. I'm not saying this is the most boring challenge I've ever seen, but I really found myself like reaching back into like 2013 and playing Candy Crush. on my phone when this was on.
I think they probably, I wonder if they knew it was going to be super boring going in, and that's why they made it that it was just winner take all, so it was just ended quicker as opposed to having to wait for everyone to finish, because maybe they thought this may not be that great of a challenge.
But then why not? And like, I feel like when Survivor has a moment that's like a little bit, I couldn't help but compare this in my head to like how this would have been edited on Survivor.
Right.
And it's like, we saw so much of this challenge, maybe because nothing else happened, but this was like, I mean, how many times do we have to see like their boat tip over? I get it. And then it was so anticlimactic. Like, you get the last coconut and you raise this bag and you're done.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting part of the challenge was what just happened immediately after. Everything inside the challenge was like Amanda saying Nelson has poor stroke game. Like, that was it.
She also called her oar a row.
Right.
Which was incredible to me.
And Ashley comparing coconuts to dead bodies, which makes me think of how many people Ashley's murdered in her life.
You know, I actually wasn't surprised by that from her recalling her experience in the real world. I was like, yeah, she's probably like helped move a body. That seems about right.
Yeah, she's probably, and then paid off the people because she can buy people's families. So she's got that too.
Did you feel like there was anything to them pairing themselves up? Any surprising pairs?
No, I think it's just a good little twist for this like short iteration of the way they do it. Kind of like a pseudo free agents vibe where you can just pick whoever you want.
I actually did think it was hilarious that they were like, the whole thing was about coconuts, and then they were like, the boats basically were just half coconuts. It was like a hollowed out coconut that they were just like rolling around in.
Yeah, but I don't think there were any like weird pairings. I mean, Anika and Theo were together as you would expect from their season. No one really stood out. I guess the weirder one was like LaToya and Shane, but my guess is those are two like just no one wanted to be with them, so they just got stuck together.
One thing, so like this was like really the Hunter and Ashley show, the whole challenge. I mean, Hunter really did completely base this seemingly completely on his own. My question is like, what the hell happened to him after he won? Why is he calling out Corey? Why is he having like a Donkey Kong reaction to this?
I mean, does it all just go back to Kayla? Just he just hates Corey because of Kayla, and then he just had a reason to like let it loose. I don't know why he was going like, were people calling out his athleticism? And that's why he was like, athleticism wins this. Like, I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, I was like, did he have to tell people that like athletic people win this game? Like, it was so like, I want to say unattractive, but I don't mean that I was ever attracted to this person on television. I just mean like as a human, I was like, I would not want to spend any more than 15 seconds around you ever again.
The worst was like, he's doing all this and I'm ready to hate on him. And then he turns to the camera and goes, I want to win the money so I can start a gym for special needs kids. And then I feel like a jackass for being like, oh, Hunter's such a loser jerk. And then he's like trying to help special needs kids. And now I'm the loser jerk.
I will say that I had, after he like went like full Donkey Kong ape shit, I had my Snapchat out because I was like, oh, this is going to be like whatever he's going to say right now is going to be stupid as hell. And then, yeah, he like says this like emotional, like very noble dream he has. And I was just like, slowly puts phone down, like grabs tissue, cries.
And yet another example of how these people have no idea how money works and how much they get and how much things cost to start up.
Well, maybe he has a little nest egg from Are the One.
Right, from his maybe his family money from what he started from dropping out of school.
He really shouldn't call out Corey because Corey's like a trainer that could go into business together.
That's true. He could be his first client.
The next squeeze.
Bring him on. Yeah, perfect.
All right. So this almost immediately shifts then to who's going in. Like, we get almost no like social drama this episode.
Yeah, I really think it all has to go to where they are. They're just all, I mean, they talked about in the beginning, like, they all smell, they're all disgusting. Like, they need to just get out of the situation and get into, like, a normal house with a pool and alcohol and all that normal stuff that we need from the show.
Which is also, I think, why, like, this was a misstep format-wise, just in terms of being in the shelter for everything you just said. But also, like, the Oasis adds another pressure element where it's, like, not enough to just, like, be middle of the road at the challenges and drink at night and just like escape elimination. You know, like in a normal format season, you don't have to win the challenges, you just have to not be in the majority and not lose. And now like you actively have to win an elimination or a challenge to move forward. So I feel like that adds like more pressure than the traditional season.
No, absolutely. Yeah, this is the concept is good, just the weirdness of them being in the wilderness is not really hitting.
Were you surprised to see them take a shot at your girl, Jenna?
I mean, the only reason I'd be surprised is that I don't know why people... The biggest surprise was people wanting to go in against Jenna. I mean, she's one of the best female competitors the show has right now. So, like, why would you be trying to go in against her? Like, I understand because they all hate her, so, like, they're going to try to get her out. But I feel like if they were doing that, everyone should be like, well, I'll go in next week. I'll go in next week. I don't want to deal with this right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw some, like, brilliant gameplay here from Shane. I was very impressed with what he was doing in the house. But from Jenna's perspective, I think it was, like, Jenna's going in, and Jenna's calling her shot at Anika. And so Anika, rather than, like, trying to scramble, is doing some, like, you know, rookie overconfidence shit to just sort of, like, psych herself into it. I don't think Anika, like, really felt as confident as she was putting on. But props to her, because it did get in Jenna's head, which I thought was, like, really impressive by Anika.
Yeah, it was very weird, like, reverse psychology. It's like, what does she know that I don't know? Why is she so confident? Doesn't she know she's, like, 4 feet tall? And I'm like, great. Why does she think she's so confident?
I mean, and then it turned out to be fine, because the elimination challenge essentially was, like, completely luck.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't any type of it was all mental, really, I guess, or not even mental, just like very little, just like timing aspect. Like, it was anyone could have won it other than, you know, Theo.
From the guy's perspective, though, I was like pretty grossed out by the way Corey was talking to Ashley, of like, if you want to like show me that respect, oh, like it just went in one ear out the other when he's trying to get her to either put in Shane or Theo. And it's like, she does not have to listen to you. Like, I'm trying to remember if he was better at including her when they were partners or not. I know it was like definitely one way or the other, but I can't remember.
I don't know. I thought he actually handled it pretty well. I thought he was just straight up with her, and I thought she was straight up with him. And she was like, you know, I listen to you. I'll take it into account, and I'll let you know either way. I actually thought they handled it pretty well.
I think she handled it well.
Especially when he then went up to Theo and Shane. It was like, just so you guys know, like, I'm calling you guys out. I don't want it to be like whispered around. I want to go in against either of you. Just straight up.
Yeah, that was totally fine. I just think the way he was like saying it to her, of like, you have to like show me respect, it just felt very Ken to me on Survivor. And it's just like, you should be kissing her ass right now. She won, and you want her to do something. Like, she doesn't owe you shit. She doesn't owe you respect. You should respect her. Like, that, it just like kind of felt like manipulative in a way. Like,
it was supposed to be
Nelson's threat to Sylvia. Yeah, it was supposed to, but I'm just saying, like, if they were really that close, he could have approached her from a place of like, congrats, I'm so happy you won. Like, I really like to go against these people. Like, whatever. Yeah. It was fine. It worked out in his favor. The rest, Theo's reaction really worked out in his favor. But I just thought it was, like, pretty damn entitled, considering, from what we've seen, he has not been working with her this season.
It's also just a weird setup for eliminations, in that, like, everyone's going to have to go in. So it's not like a normal, like, oh, they're trying to get rid of me. It's like, well, I'm trying to just move on to the Oasis myself. So I just want to go in and up against like the best possible person, but it doesn't matter because I'm still going to have to go in anyway. So it's like the stakes of the elimination are a little different also.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I think the shelter format like could not be sustained much longer, is because there's no drama in the elimination when people are asking to go in. Like, this was like completely constructed. The only thing was that Hunter was going to send in Jenna, and that was a bit of the social dynamics in the house. And then Jenna called her shot, and then Corey requested to go in, to the point where he was like, I want to be the house vote so I can ask you to pick who I want right now, and don't leave it up to the house. Like, that kind of orchestration elimination really takes some of the joy out of it.
And then one thing on the guys, Randy Nupple asked, should the other challengers really have allowed Corey to go into the elimination? Do Shane, Nelson, and Anthony realize they're going to have to cannibalize themselves next week?
But then that's why I was so impressed with Shane here. I mean, Theo, again, pulls a real rookie move to say, like, well, if Nika's going in, I'm going in. His ego gets in the way that he can take on Corey, which is absurd. And so I was just like, Shane is playing like a veteran here to say, oh, I'd rather win the challenge. I don't want to risk elimination, especially when you know the person you're going against is Corey, who's a beast. And if I'm looking at the rest of the field, okay, I'm not as afraid really of Anthony and Nelson, who have less experience or have had less success in challenges than Corey. So
plus you get a shot to just win the challenge next week.
Exactly. Without even facing elimination, and you're getting rid of Corey. Corey is either going to go home or he's going to be in the Oasis. So he's not competing next week. And exactly. The other, or like vice versa. So you're knocking two more guys out of contention. And if I'm Shane, I'm looking at Nelson, I'm looking at Anthony, I'm like, I could beat these people. I think Shane mm-hmm. beat them, if I remember correctly, in the challenge where they had to like scale the wall and go under the first challenge from last week.
Right. Yeah, I think he did pretty well on that one.
So I thought that was like a true under the radar veteran move. I also loved how Shane's like taking myself out of it. Like even, you know, totally neutral. Forget that I'm the other person up for elimination here. I really think you should go against Corey. And mm-hmm. the guys are like, yeah, yeah, you're like a great outside perspective. Like, what the hell are you talking about? He has such a personal interest in this. It's not even funny. Like they just, right. he ran the table with them.
Yeah, he did very well. I mean, if he can get into the Oasis, I think he'll have a good shot to kind of fly under the radar for a while. Because it seems like all the girls like him here. And I think when he goes back, I mean, I don't remember what if he had any seasons with like a Bananas or a Durrell or stuff like that. But I think that old school aspect could bond them together a little bit against some of these new kids. So I think he would have a shot to go pretty far before the target would reach him.
Well, he goes way back with Durrell from their right. season of Road Rules. So like, I definitely think Shane is like in the network of the challenge family, certainly more so than any of these other fools. We don't know. It's tough to speculate when we don't know what the format is, but I don't see like a Bananas or CT being like threatened by Shane. And I think his age and experience with the show will make them able to gel.
Yeah, especially if, you know, guys like if Nelson makes it and Hunter, like they're going to want to try to be these type A guys that are going to take him out. So, yeah, if Shane, I mean, he has to win something next week, but I think if he can get in, he's got a good shot. What did you make of, like, I thought the early running for the best conversation of the season with Kayla being just because you graduated college doesn't make you smart. I graduated and I'm dumbass. And then Jenna's subtle just, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, we need to settle this age-old debate right now. Does having a college degree, just one, not are you the one Brandon style, but just one degree, does that make you smart?
No, obviously not. And it doesn't. Also, doesn't matter if you could put it up on a wall, Sarah.
Yeah, we will get to that. I was just going to pull that up right now. Perfect segue. But mm-hmm. I think Anika's smart though, and better at puzzles than Jenna, but not just because she went to college. Like that's. I agree with Jenna's assessment to be nervous that Anika could potentially outsmart her, but again, having nothing to do with a college degree.
Right, and being good at puzzles also has very little to do with like intelligence. Puzzles are sometimes are very random. You can just like figure it out. Just something just like eureka moment and you can figure it out. You're not like doing calculus up there.
What you referenced before, so on Twitter, somebody tweeted at Sarah, like, so Johnny Bananas is on his own special before the challenge invasion, like sleepy emojis, and tagged Sarah and Susie of the Brain Candy podcast. And Sarah wrote, oh, he has his own special? Too bad you can't hang a TV special on the wall like a master's degree, nail polish emoji. And then Johnny writes, here's my master's degree, money bag emoji, hashtag rotten banana, and then a whole bunch of like other annoying things. And then a picture of like stacks of cash taped to like a frame.
Here's my question.
Scotch does taped just, to a frame.
Does he just have a stock list of photos with all this, or is money just not in the bank? Because how did he just pull that up?
He does seem like the kind of guy who would like frequently want to roll around at his money and have it on hand.
It's a possibility. I just think he probably just like when he after the season, he just like took a whole bunch of pictures with the money and like in all different frames and contexts. And now he just has them ready to go for like the rest of his life.
It appears to be like 80 grand plus because like one of the stacks is like opened. So it looks like he used a little and dipped into that mm-hmm. one. But it's like it appears if it's real money to be like 80 to 90 grand taped to this. Like shitty frame with scotch tape. I mean, both of them need to get off it. Like, I can't stand Bananas' hypocrisy where he's like rubbing the money in her face like she did to him and he was like a bitch banana about. And I can't stand her. Like, that is such a shitty comeback of like, too bad you can't hang a special on the wall like a master's degree. No one cares you have a master's degree. Like, shut the hell up.
Those type of people are the absolute worst. They're the same ones that like just like people who go to like an Ivy League school just bring it up and like without context, like they're just like, oh, when I was at Harvard or whatever, it's like, just shut up, dude. No one cares.
No, it's literally Andy from The Office, but also like it's not any different than Bananas is constant like Sarah bought me this house. Oh, well, with my money, like both of them are tacky AF.
And I hate that MTV like loves it because did you watch Bananas the special?
Let's take one guess to see if I watched the Bananas special.
Because like the first 8 to 10 minutes, like the entire first segment was a rehash of Bananas vs. Sarah. Like it was just all that. And I mean, I feel like they're just going to do like Rivals 4 again and just run back Bananas and Sarah somehow.
Well, if Bananas speculation is correct, we'll never, Sarah's not allowed on the show anymore. But I mean, I will say that that I forgot what I was going to say, so I won't say it. Oh, no, that would have been the comeback of the night, is Sarah to be like, well, your whole special is about me, asshole.
Right. She could have said that easily because a lot of it was. But the CT one was better. As much as I love Bananas, the CT one was more entertaining.
Well, if only because we haven't seen CT in a while. Like, we've seen the Banana special for the last, like, 5 seasons.
That's true. A lot of it was a lot of recent stuff. And CT is just the better character, so there's that.
Anything else to come out of that special worth reporting on?
No, nothing. I don't know if they're doing more. I didn't see if there's one scheduled for next week, so.
I mean, we'll again, what's the Ashley special going to be?
Remember that time I did that one season and won?
Yeah. Somebody tweeted at us about this, like, are we coming on like too harsh on her? Like, am I undervaluing like what winning that season was?
No, you're not, because that season was awful. It was atrocious and it was a joke of a season. But that doesn't mean Ashley can't be good. I'm sure she seems like she's in great shape and it was probably a good competitor. It's just the way they're building it up is like all these all time great champions and it's like, and Ashley.
Yeah, she did like one non-traditional format.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean, I mean, she could. I don't think she would beat like Laurel or something like that, but she'll be one of the best female competitors there. So
moving into the nominations here, where it's exactly what they said it would be. We did stand to lose, like losing Corey and Jenna here in this spot. Like, I love an upset and was almost rooting for Anika in this moment, because it really doesn't seem like Jenna's head or heart is in it this season. Like, at least on the shelter part of it. Like, I feel like she's deflated by not being as well liked as she feels she normally is.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how well liked she usually is. She's just like usually with the power in the house. But I didn't want to lose Jenna because of the Zach factor. And I definitely didn't want to lose Corey because I love Corey. So I was like almost hoping for the most predictable result of this, which is not usually what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I mean, I was totally rooting for Corey and Jenna, so absolutely.
What did you think of this elimination? What was it? Grab your balls. You have balls.
Yeah, who's got
balls?
So we have a few questions on that, all to the degree of basically, why was this hyped up as like the scariest elimination of all time?
I mean, here's the thing. These things never look as scary as they actually are on television. I was at this party over the weekend that this guy has this like crazy house, like 45 minutes from the law school, that has like an indoor pool and basketball, whatever. It's just like a sick house.
And humble brag alert.
Not for me, for him. I was like, I don't belong here. Like, can you x-ray vision me at this party and see that I have no money in my pockets? Like, is that painfully apparent? But anyway, he had this like rickety spiral staircase that went to this like overlook, and I accidentally like followed people up it, and halfway through, and I mean, it's like 20 stairs up, I was like starting to get short of breath. It's like 3 stories, but this is just like a little section of it. And I started to panic, and I was like on this little ledge, and I was like, oh my God, I can't breathe. They're like, are you afraid of heights? And I was like, just get me off. And I had to like take my shoes off and like slide down the stairs on my butt. Like, I just was like so panicked. So I was like getting flashbacks to that. And I was like, okay, if I couldn't even get up the stairs to this in-home perch, there's no way I'm able to like hold wicker balls and swing a 400-foot drop.
The one thing I'll say about why it might actually stand up is that a lot of the heights stuff is just challenges. So a lot of most of the eliminations I remember are just on the ground, like they're in like the gulag type thing. So it's not like they're going like 400 feet in the air. So I guess it could be like the most intimidating elimination ever, just because like this is the first one they're ever doing that's like above 10 feet in the air.
Right. No, that's a good point. But it was, as far as eliminations go, like I feel like we really want to see the competitors going against each other directly. And this was just like so painfully boring to watch, of like, grab these 5 balls that you can stick your fingers through like wiffle balls, hold on to them and jump off quickly. Like part of what's exciting about the heights challenge is that they, deliberate and hesitate and all of that. When you take that out of it, there's nothing to watch.
Yeah, and they're like doing something, you know, that they're like trying to jump from platform to platform or trying to transport something across. This is just like, it was basically just jump. Like that was, it was like collecting the balls takes like a half a second. So then it's just basically just jump. Like that was the challenge. So I thought I missed something in the rules and they were going to, as they were swinging, we're going to have to like shoot the balls into like a basket or something like that. I feel like they were missing something to do.
What do you think of Theo's, like, this is just kind of goes to like Theo's whole story with Cash or Cass from The Real World and the whole football career. Like, this is like part of the reason why I don't believe it. It's as he says, like, he's so perfect in his own mind and it's everyone else's fault all the time. And he talks this huge D1 athlete game and he gets to the perch and he's just like, mommy, like, no, yeah. I don't want to do it.
I had the same thought, and Tyler Armijo had the same thought. He said, is it bad that I'm now doubting who's we got Theo kicked out of school solely based on him not jumping? And I had that thought. I'm like, oh my God, maybe Theo is actually just like a loser bitch, and he's the one who brought the weed in.
Yeah, I don't know. It was not a good look for Theo, and I was surprised when they showed, who did they have the soundbite basically saying, you're never coming back, you'll never be invited back?
Nelson.
Okay. I was kind of like, that's not necessarily true. I feel like you can quit and come back. But if MTV is airing that, you're not coming back.
It's also like you can quit, but I feel like you have to have more of a resume than it being like your first ever episode. Otherwise, it's like, all right, like, you know, if you're not going to do this, why even bother? It's not like you've been doing this for like 4 or 5 seasons. And for some reason, this is like just really got to you. So we'll give you another chance.
Right, right. I'm not that upset. I think Theo kind of had a really weak showing here. All around.
Yeah, super disappointing. I was all in on him coming on this season. It was womp, womp, womp.
We did get one of the best TJ lashings in the history of the show. I'm willing to say this is my favorite TJ lashing. When they lower him in, at first I was so upset when I just saw the three competitors standing there. I was like, okay, we're like, they just sent him home and we missed the opportunity to get Bash. And then they lower him in. They sent Britney. It was more like Gaga at the Super Bowl. They lower him down in this unbelievably humiliating slow motion.
I was upset that everyone gave him like a high five. Like I thought it would be cool if he just like, if they all just blew him off and be like, nah, screw you.
Yeah, that was weird that he kept trying to get like respect from the teammates. But TJ's just getting more and more brutal. This is where TJ shines, when he's just like so disgusted. And then the juxtaposition of him saying, like, I'm so proud of you girls. Like, he's their father. Yeah.
No, you know, good for Anika. Like, not to go all punny from the name of the challenge, but it takes a lot of balls to do that. So good for her that she came on and did it. I mean, she, not to get like all tinfoil hatty, but maybe she won, maybe she didn't, I don't know, but losing by 2 seconds is not a bad way to go out in your first ever season.
I thought it was clear from the footage that she didn't win. Jenna went so much quicker getting the balls than Anika did. Like, Anika definitely had hesitation when she was reaching for the balls. So I was not surprised that Jenna won this. And I'm not putting my tinfoil hat on, because I actually thought, okay, we're definitely getting a physical elimination because they don't want Anika or Theo coming back. So the fact that they would, like, slot in this elimination anyway. I know it was slotted in, but you know, you figure if they were like really banking on Jenna being there for the Zach drama or whatever else, if they had just made this a physical elimination, easy peasy lemon squeezy for this result, as opposed to this could have gone a completely different way on both, you know, maybe not with Corey when he went in like 4 or 5 seconds, but
right.
So I was actually impressed with the anti-conspiracy theory allowance here.
I mean, this is now Jenna's fourth season, and she still has never lost an elimination. So, I mean, I've never been more stunned by someone being this good on the challenge from, like, their initial Real World season than her in my entire life.
That's fair.
Shout out to her.
I have some Twitter stuff. I don't think of anything else from the episode.
Yeah. That's it. The only, just again about Nelson. No, this is the only version of Nelson that I like. I hate when he speaks about anything else except for his reverence for the challenge. And that's it. So he did it again today. So if he does that every week, then I'll love him. But every other time when he speaks, I find them quite annoying.
He might be the new Mitch Watch, where it's just like, I can't even like that he's like having reverence for the challenge, except when you point it out. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that was nice.
So now it's Nelson Reverence Watch.
Rev Watch, which could be like Rev Run.
There you go.
Just a couple things from social media. Somebody sent us this video, Ashley Quesada on Twitter, that Sarah has this Instagram on, it's Challenge Invasion MTV, posted this clip of Susie and Sarah. I'm really getting sick of them, I'm sorry. Susie and Sarah talking shit, and Sarah is like going over the top ham that allegedly the house that Johnny showed on, was it the special or the intro to last week's episode? The house that Sarah bought.
It was last week.
All right, so the house that Sarah allegedly bought him with her money, or he bought with Sarah's money, is registered on Zillow, that it hasn't been sold since the 80s, and it's Johnny's mom's house. So she was like, okay, maybe your mom like gave you that house and you now live in the master bedroom, but you did not buy that house. You know who did buy a house with their Brain Candy podcast money? Me. Like, I signed the paper. It was legitimate. Like, what, I was waiting for her to give her like mortgage information out, like whatever.
Wait, did she actually say she bought a house with the Brain Candy money?
Yeah.
How much money are they possibly making off of that podcast? I'm calling absolute bullshit on that.
I believe
I'm calling
it.
Bullshit on that.
They, because they don't just do like the challenge stuff. And when they did the challenge stuff, they like did, like a paid like GoFund. Like, if you give us money, we'll make this free podcast that's very easy to make.
Oh my God. If anyone listening actually gave money to Sarah.
Don't say that. I'm sure there are plenty of people listening that gives money to them.
I have no respect for you. I'm sorry. Oh, wow. I don't.
I think it's totally fine to support the podcasts you like and listen to.
Not when they're like saying like, I'm not going to do this unless you give me money.
No. It was like, you don't remember their Kickstarter? It was like, if we raise X amount of money, we'll make video podcasts where we do behind the scenes, like challenge stuff. I mean, this is like the world. People got to get paid. Not everybody's like us.
Oh, she has a master's degree. Why can't she get a job using that?
Look, I'm all about the hustle, so I respect their hustle. They have 798 patrons, and they make $5,100 a month just on Patreon.
Okay. I'm not buying a house off that, but okay.
All right, yeah, you get $2,500 a month would be nice.
Oh, I would take it. Best of luck. But if anyone wants to send me money, you can. My Venmo is...
Oh my God, my friend, this is, no one cares about this. If you're still listening, then I feel like you're just on board with talking nonsense. My friend whose birthday it was yesterday posted like in lieu of gifts, like, please send me Venmo, and put his Venmo thing. And he got like $12 in change.
Right,
Venmo to him. So it works.
People do that like on the college game day on ESPN. Some kid got like thousands of dollars just by having his Venmo come up.
Wow. I'm very impressed by $12. Can't imagine how I'd feel about thousands. A couple more things from social media. So some Nicole drama going on. Barstool JJ, who I assume is like the host of the Barstool No Quitters podcast.
Yeah, he's part of it. Yeah,
he wrote like, or somebody tweeted at him, you guys do know Nicole is dating Laurel, right? Hashtag power couple. He wrote, can you confirm, at Nicole? And Nicole wrote, hey, four Y's, which I feel like on the number of Y's chart, that's like, I'm into you.
Right.
And he's like, so I'm not confirming or denying. Guess you'll have to wait and see. Follow Snapchat this weekend for a special guest. Kiss emoji. Not lips emoji. Not like a swack.
I love when you describe emojis. It's my favorite segment of ours.
I'm going to make a Kickstarter, which is like me describing emojis. Like, for $12 a month, I'll describe 15 emojis. And then, yeah, really under chin scratch emoji, underused this season. Very disappointed. And, step it up.
I'm not going to lie. You know how you could type in the search bar?
Yeah.
Like, I tried typing chin scratch to pull up that emoji one time. It did not work.
Okay. We have not gotten it like incepted. We have not like done inception enough into the emoji game then. I will complain about this. I'll complain about anything. I tried to use like embarrassed. I was looking for like blushing or embarrassed. I know it exists. Mm-hmm. And that didn't come up either. Like, they have not done a good job on attaching the emojis to the words in that search.
You know
the
what
faces.
There needs to be? There needs to be like either somewhere on the internet or like on the phone. There needs to be like a description of like what word you could just type to pull up each emoji.
That's like how lazy we are. This is on a millennials, just to bring it back to millennials. Yeah. Favorite things would be like an emoji translator for easier use.
It would be, how great would that be if you just knew exactly, all right, like some of them are easy, like we just type tree, but some of them are like, it's a little difficult. And then it takes so long. It's like, oh, is this in like, which category is it in? And then you're spending so much time looking for it. It's, the struggle is very real.
I will say that I don't usually like to talk about my in-depth personal life on the podcast, but I will say that I have typed cash into Bitmoji so many times in the last week to get that cash me outside. How about that? I highly recommend it.
There you go. See, but what if you wanted like the different money emoji? There's like a few different ones, and well, you only got the cash.
When they give me a cash me outside, how about that emoji? I'll be impressed. There's a Bitmoji. I have not typed cash at all into the regular search.
You know who loves the Bitmojis?
Plainview Sue.
She does.
I had a feeling.
She loves them.
All right, so speaking of love, Nicole also tweeted, her screenshots are my picture perfect, hashtag challenge invasion, hashtag my Valentine, hashtag MTV, and it's a picture of her and Laurel. So I look forward to seeing their romance, but we have a lover scorned entering the scene. Kara, I can't let anything good happen without getting involved. Maria says, 16 hours ago from when I screen kept this at 5:56, tweeted, Nicole told me a diff story. Quote, I heard you were going to be on the show, so I dumped my GF if there was a chance I could try to get with you. Cash me outside. How about that, Laurel?
Go away, Kara.
And then she also said, but there was no chance. There would never be a chance. Verbally and politely spoke that to all parties involved, including camera. Hot tea emoji. I think it's coffee, but that's some tea.
Doesn't mean you can't play a little rock, paper, scissors, though.
I don't want to address what you just said. What are you talking about?
You don't remember that?
I'm in a dark place. Oh,
with Thomas? Oh, come on. That was a good joke.
It was. I don't have to get it for it to be a good joke. That's why they're okay, listeners. Good.
You can tweet me that. That's the hashtag. Tweet, say, Brian, that was a good joke. That's the hashtag.
Okay. just to give some credit, that was Adam on Twitter who sent me the Kara's tweet. Keep sending me. People were tweeting like, read Kayla's tweets, and then I went back to Kayla's tweets and didn't see anything really worth reading. So if there's anything you like definitely want us to talk about, send me a little screen grab. Make it easy.
So Kayla did something really weird last night. She tweeted out a bunch of text conversations between her and Theo, and of course, because I'm a loser, I read through all of them. And it was just absolute nothingness. So I don't know what she was trying to like.
Well, she deleted them. You got to get those screen grabs in while you can.
Oh, so she already deleted them? It was just basically like, I'm flying in here. When are you getting there? I just ended my contract. When did you send in yours? Like, that was the entire conversation. I don't know if she thought she was sending in something different, but like, there was nothing. There was no story there. So be better at blowing people up, Kayla.
How about that?
Yeah.
Very into that. Again, I want to be clear. I don't condone that crazy ass 13-year-old. I do condone the meme of it all.
We really need these champs to show up.
Yes, that was also painfully apparent this episode. I mean, yeah. Snooze fest. I hope this podcast wasn't that big of a snooze fest. Hopefully we'll be back next week with something more exciting.
So any predictions on who, I guess it'd be easier to say which guy and girl goes home.
Who's left? No, it's Anthony Nelson and Shane.
Anthony Nelson, Shane, and Amanda LaToya, Sylvia.
Here's a hot take. It does not matter.
There you go.
Like, they really, I think, they're probably very excited about who they have moving on.
I hope Amanda and Nelson move on. I would like to see those two move on. I think Amanda is entertaining, and Nelson at least is, like, trying to be a personality, so I would like to see what he does when everyone else shows up.
Yeah, you're giving him a real E for effort there. I will say with Nelson, he's potentially stands a chance to try to rival the challengers, whereas Shane will like just be someone to succumb to their will, depending on the format. I'm rooting for Shane. I feel like Shane needs this. Like, yay. On the girl side, Amanda LaToya and who? Oh, Sylvia.
Amanda, Sylvia. I hope Sylvia goes just for straight karma.
There's something going on with the Sylvia drama there. Like, I could see like that continuing, but I think Amanda is just more reliable as just like a lit match in a gasoline store.
Right. It'll be super. So there's gonna be no nominations next week then, I guess, right? So a couple of questions about if the champs will show up next week, or if it'll just be like a to be continued. So I think actually they may show up because there's not much that's going to be able to happen. Like there's going to be no deliberation. There's only six people competing in the challenge. So it could be a, they could actually show up.
So you don't, so you, okay. I'm thinking of how this would work out. So you have, also very strange, like holding my mic stand now, like I'm Mick Jagger. Okay. You have the challenge, two people win, and then you go straight to elimination, and then you think the champs show up. Based on the preview, it seems like they're going to come.
It would be cool if they like just had like did the challenge and then just immediately they're like, all right, now we're just doing the elimination. Just like boom, boom. Not even like send them back there. Just like, you know, sometimes when Survivor says, all right, we're just going straight to vote or something like that right then and there. So I think that'd be kind of cool.
I would love the elimination to take place at the Oasis, like Moses on the mountaintop. Like here's the future. Here's the promised land. But your journey ends here. You dead.
Or do you think it's just going to be a challenge and whoever finishes last is just out? Or do you think we actually will get elimination?
Say that one more time.
Do you think, because they could just do the challenge and then whoever just finishes last goes home.
Oh, yeah.
We could do that.
They could do that. But then it's almost like, does the second place team deserve to get their ticket punched? Oh, what did you think of Corey, like, suggesting that, sorry, this, I'm getting like 15 texts and it's really annoying in my headphones.
Oh my God, I'm Allie. I have so many friends.
No, it's
look
one
at me.
It's one person.
I'm just trying to make that a thing so people like complain about you with that. No, I just got so many friends. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's and my people Twitter wonder complaining why voice. I'm mean to Brian. No,
it's been a while.
I just wonder if it's almost like, does the second place team then in that challenge like deserve to move forward? I just asked that. What I meant was, what do you think of Corey suggesting that Hunter give up his ticket quote?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was once worth a shot. Go for it.
I thought it was pretty hilarious.
I thought there was a slight chance he was going to do it.
I did like how Hunter immediately was like, I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. I'm here for the money.
I'm not Jordan. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. I look forward to next week. I think it's really going to start to pick up. We just need, and what sucks is it's not that we need the vets for the television. It's like, I do think that there could have been a strong season without the champs coming in, but just they didn't allow for a format that would sustain itself. So like, I don't want it to be confused that I'm like complaining for like lack of big personalities in the house. It's like, they didn't allow them to really do a standalone couple of episodes. Like them being in the shelter totally precluded them from really having the time we want them to have. The pressure of the Oasis precluded them from having the time we wanted them to have. But otherwise, I do think this does bode well for the future of the challenge when these guys inevitably retire.
You would think eventually they would.
Well, or like we'll one day they'll just wheel bananas in, like 80 years old. I'm still here. Wait,
what happens first? Bananas retires or CT's kid shows up? Put that bet on the board at Vegas.
I don't know, but oh my God. CT's kid is so freaking cute and has the aggression of his father to just like hit the camera away.
That kid's going to be a monster in like daycare. Is he like building up the blocks and just like, rah, being like a Godzilla, like tearing them down? Oh, he's going to be great.
All right. On that note, let's wrap this baby up.
All right. You can subscribe at robberswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at, I almost said bus drivers are out. Not going to say it. At Cohen Brian _. They can follow you.
At a good Twitter handle, at Last Tweets.
I will be back next week. Till then, have a good one.